This is Chris Bloomer on Sunshine Radio, and right now we're getting very excited about the Regal Folk Festival, which is on in Tenbury Wells from April the 15th through to the 20th, a week's worth of incredible live folk music. And on Tuesday the 16th of April, we'll be able to see an award-winning musician from Dublin who's been described as one of the finest Irish male folk singer storytellers of all time. And here to talk to us today is the one and only Derry Farrell. Hi, Derry.
Hi, how are you doing? It's great to be here.
Well, this month is a very, very busy one for you, with loads of live dates across the UK, including your gig at the Regal Folk Festival. Do you enjoy life on the road, Derry?
I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. It has its ups and its downs, but mostly they're ups. And this time, my father's actually coming with me. He's becoming a bit of a celebrity himself, actually. He comes along with me, and I really enjoy the fun with Desi. He's great crack. So he doesn't play music. It's just going to be me solo at that gig. So I'm looking forward to it. He's my travel companion, and we just do have a great time because we've so much in common, the two of us, you know, so it's great fun.
I bet that's amazing, and getting to tour the UK with your dad.
That's amazing. And I video documented as I'm going along as well, because I've done a course on videography there a couple of years ago when the whole world closed down, and it was fantastic, you know. And that's what we do, we video document it, and you know, we just put it together, then stitch it together at the end of the couple of weeks and put it up on YouTube, and people can watch it. It's great crack altogether, you know.
Do you have time to explore the towns and cities you perform at before the gig?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do. The last time I was in Tenbury Wells was absolutely fantastic. Like, I mean, it's just a beautiful place. Like, I mean, these towns in the UK are really wonderful, like, you know. And then you get to the big cities like London and stuff like this, and they're equally wonderful in a completely different way, you know. I love going to new places and stuff like that, you know.
Where did your love of folk music come from?
I suppose it was from me dad, because he listened to folk music when he was younger, a younger man, you know, and it had always been in the house, be it on CD or a tape cassette or vinyl or just even on the radio. He loved listening to it, and he always said that he wished he could play it, and then he gave me the opportunity, myself and my sister, but she never stuck it out. Unfortunately, she could have been quite good, but it was me who stuck it out, you know. And I actually started quite a late age, probably around 14 or 15, kind of started taking an interest in actually playing the music, even though I had listened to it for a long time, you know.
What was the first instrument you learned to play?
The first instrument I ever owned, it was a Bowron, which is the frame drum, the Irish frame drum, you know. I wouldn't say I learned how to play it so much as I used to just beat it to death nearly, like the poor goat, God bless it, like, you know. And I used to play like that, but then I got a nylon string guitar, Spanish classical guitar, and I absolutely loved it. So Spanish classical music really was my first kind of, I wouldn't say love, but was my first instrument, like, you know. And then I got a steel string guitar, started playing different types of songs. I could play ballads and stuff. And now that was a real love of mine. That was what I really wanted to do, you know.
Did you have lessons, or were you self-taught?
A little bit of both. I had lessons. I had not many lessons, but I had like 9 or 10 lessons maybe on the guitar. And then I kind of started picking it up for myself, you know. I felt that it was something that I could do. I could kind of figure it out a little bit, like, you know. And I always said to myself, if ever I had the opportunity to go back and study music properly, I think I never really had given it a chance up until that stage. And then that actually happened. Then I got to go back to college when I was around 28 or 29 years of age and study music. And it was, they were literally 5 of the best years of my life. Like, it opened up a whole world to me, like, you know.
Because you were originally an electrician, weren't you?
That's correct, actually. You've done your homework. Very good.
How long did you do that for, then?
It took 5 or 6 years, and then I kind of done another 5 or 6 years, maybe even more, as a fully qualified electrician, working on huge big building sites in Dublin and all over Ireland, like, you know. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed that as well, but it was a completely different world. I felt like I grew up very quickly in the electrical and the construction game, you know. I felt like I grew up, and you only got a chance to do things once, like, you know. And in music, it's a little bit more relaxed, even though it was really hectic. Like, it was just a little bit more relaxed than being on a building site. And if you got a chord wrong, it didn't matter. It didn't mean somebody was going to die or anything like that, you know. So it was okay. And so then I think I had like a more of an integrity to kind of go for it. Like, I mean, it was quite a hard job, and you'd be probably on the building site at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you might be there till 7 in the night. Like, I mean, it was a fairly hectic and heavy job, like, you know, at the time. time, especially during the boom years when everybody couldn't get enough electricians, like, you know, so it was quite something, like. But music was a hobby of mine, and I did kind of move from the guitar onto the tenor banjo and then onto the mandolin. And then when I heard the mandolin, then I mean, I said to myself, you know, this is a beautiful instrument, and I'm nearly at my destination as regards what instrument I wanted to play, you know. So one step away from the bouzouki.
Let's talk about the Irish bouzouki. I mean, because it's an incredible instrument, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful instrument. It's kind of like an instrument that you wouldn't see every day, you know.
Yeah.
But I just loved the sound of it on the old Botty Band and the old Planxty albums. I really loved the sound of it. It's just a wonderful instrument. And I remember receiving one for the first time. It wasn't a very good one. I played it for 2 or 3 years. And then when I felt like I was ready for an upgrade, I upgraded to an instrument made by a guy here in Dublin called Joe Foley, and I never looked back. His instrument is actually hanging up on the wall just above me head here.
Oh, wow.
It's the one I use. You know, I'm just back from America and Australia. I was over there doing a solo tour, and I was touring also with Lunaset in America, and I had that bouzouki, and I just love it. Now, I've got plenty of them, but I love that particular one, and it means an awful lot to me, you know.
Your music is incredible. You've released 4 albums so far in your career, the latest of which, The Wedding Above in Glen Cree, came out last year. Do you prefer writing and recording material, or do you prefer being out on the road and performing live?
I don't really mind. I kind of love it all, you know. I kind of love it all. It's a fairly hectic life that we have here, myself and with my little family. Like, you know, it's fairly hectic. So anytime I get to do anything to do with music is an absolute blessing, you know. I really love it. Not to say that I don't love being at home. I absolutely miss them. I could go away on a tour, and 2 days into the tour, I'll really badly miss my family at home, you know.
Yeah.
My girls and me wife, like, you know, I really miss them. But this time it's not going to be so bad, because where I'm just skipping over to the UK, and like I said, Desi's coming with me, so it's going to be great. He's a, you know, it's a fantastic bit of moral support. I do get homesick. Like, I have to say that. Like, I do get homesick, you know. But it's fine. And I know that in 2.5 weeks, like, I'll be home. It's great having a gig every night, because it's something to look forward to.
You're going to be, as I say, performing at the Regal Folk Festival on Tuesday, the 16th of April. Are you looking forward to it? Are you excited about it?
I really, really am. I'm looking forward to it. I've never done a gig there, but I did visit before, and it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait just to get in. I met the people there. They're so lovely. They brought me for a tour of the town and everything, and
oh, wow.
It was just fantastic. And I can't wait to do it again. You know?
For anyone who's not heard you before, what can we expect from your show?
A little bit of everything. I try and keep it as lighthearted as I can. I have love songs from Ireland, Scotland and England, all that kind of thing. I kind of try and diversify as much as I can. I've got some funny songs. I've got really sad songs, some politically historical songs, you know. And sometimes my audience, especially if they know me, they shout things at me.
Right.
The shows can be very interactive in a very, very funny way. Like, you know, so like I said, it's good fun. It's energetic. I put as much as I can. I try and put 110% in. I would highly advise everyone, if they don't have a ticket so far, to get a ticket and come along to see Derry Farrell, because he's incredible.
That's a great pitch there, Derry. Well, listen, good luck for your tour this month. We're really looking forward to seeing you at the Regal Folk Festival on April 16th. Derry Farrell, thank you very much indeed for chatting to us.
Cheers, guys, and sláinte, which means cheers in Irish. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much indeed, Derry.